Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:19 Central African Time. Boniface Uwais Mijaki, all looking happy this morning, all looking good. And our Mufti A.K. Hussein Damod Barakatum, always. He's the early bird, people. Yeah, he does many things, but he really motivates all of us. And alhamdulillah, Allah keep him now and forever. The time of the morning where we join someone that is in sync with nature, that someone that has a bird's eye view of Durban, the promenade, and the Indian Ocean. Let's welcome Adam Kamda with a hearty Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, Adam, how are you doing this beautiful, cloudy Durban morning?
Alaykum salam, Shafa. This lovely crisp morning on the Durban beachfront. We are so blessed. The weather forecast said there's a cold front coming through with rain, etc. We had a bit of patchy rain last night, but the skies are clearing. There's some dark clouds on the horizon. There may be rain out at sea, but the sun is coming up. You can see blue skies above and sun's rays beaming through. And warming up our promenade, Shafat. I've been down for my cycle already. I nearly missed the show. I had my alarm go off at 7:10 just to remind me that I'm going on air at 7:15. So I raced up to the apartment. I don't know if you can make up. I'm a little bit out of breath, but here I am. Get on time and looking forward to a lovely show, Shafat.
Now, that's what makes you a real team, man. You're someone that keeps to your promises, and that's why you resonate so positively with us on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and your segment when you come in. And, you know, people, I'm looking at the newspapers, and they are saying, the slithering, silvery fish are on the way. But I believe somewhere near the Eastern Cape, I saw some footage or somewhere, but I don't know how true is it. You know, people today on social media are sending different types of pictures, some from 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So, hey, it's happening now. How do we differentiate whether this is false news or truth, the truth in the fishing circle? Or is it we have to go via a person called Adam Kamda? Adam, talk to me.
Yes, Shafad, it's very easy. You can just log on to Facebook and look up my profile, Adam Kamda. I post pictures every morning, and the caption I use is, "Can you see the shoals?" So you can watch the ocean in real time, Shafad. Day by day, you can look at the different beautiful sunrises. And all my fishing buddies always scour my photos looking for the dark patches in the ocean and hoping to be the first ones to spot the shoals, Shafad. Yes, fake news is actually a really big problem on social media. A lot of people love to create that hype, and they post what is called clickbait. So they'll use old photos of the sardine frenzy, of people rushing down to the beaches, and they'll say sardines are here, etc. That can be differentiated from the genuine article, Chapaat. You would find organizations like Independent Online will use an old photo, a file photo, just to highlight what the news story is all about. They're not really implying that this is a current photo or a photo taken within the last few days. So it's just to jog your memory of what the sardine run looks like. But the article does provide current information. I've seen two up-to-date articles posted in the last couple of days, Shafat. One reported that the first sardine spotting flights was done on Thursday last week. The aged pilot shoals were very thin. There was no predator activity around those pilot shoals, and it was actually quite difficult to spot them. Then they went further south, and there are bigger shoals in the PE area, Shafaat. There's fields of gannets floating in rafts on the water, Shafaat, and this indicates hopefully an excellent start of a great sardine run for us. So the forecast, the prediction is that the sardines are still a few weeks away. It's now May. I'd say in June, we're going to really have quite a great start and a bumper season to our sardine run, Shafaat.
Hey, I'm excited already. I'm also very excited so what you said. Talking about those gannets, Adam, tell the listeners, I want you to give a graphic description of how those gannets dive bomb into the ocean, into the shoals. And how much of sardines are they eating when they get in there, swimming right deep? And hey, they already have a feast, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, if you just Google the greatest shoal on earth, you will come across scores of amazing video footage of the sardine run. And it's quite spectacular to behold, Shafad, where you've got these bait balls of sardines swimming around. They're huddling together, for some sort of protection because there's no structures out at sea. They're all in open water. And then you have sharks coming up from below and you've got seals following them. And then you've got hundreds of birds dive bombing. You know, dive bombing is quite an apt description. They actually look like kamikaze pilots flying straight down towards the ocean and then breaking the surface. But what I found really surprising, Shafaad, is, you know, we are so used to see these National Geographic video footage of fish eagles soaring high in the sky and really targeting their prey. They spot their prey from high up, and then they swoop down onto the surface of the water and clutch those its prey, you know, in its claws. And it gives you the impression that, you know, they spot the fish first and then they dive on specifically onto a particular fish. But it's different with the Cape Gannets, Shafaad, and with the sardine run. If you observe the footage, you see these birds dive bombing straight into the water and not really striking a fish directly. They come down from a great height to get a lot of speed so they can get the depth when they get into the water, Shafaad. And when they break the surface, you see them, the momentum carries them probably about 3 to 5 meters below the surface of the water. And then they actually flap the wings underwater. So once they reach that depth, they actually follow the shoal around underwater, grab their prey, and then come up to the surface, Shafaad.
Yeah, it reminds me of the term lucky dip. they go down there. But as you said, they flap around. And as for the eagle, it's astounding what the eagle does. And, you know, we do have some fish eagles around in our part of the world, and your favorite spot also, it's Pingo Beach. And they have a distinctive sound, Adam. I don't know if you pick them up, but they are a sight to behold, Adam.
Yes, Shafaad, that is such an iconic sound and such a wonderful thing to hear in nature. My good friend Sean down in the South Coast has a B&B on the Mzimkulu River, and he shared with me the information that they've got two resident fish eagles there, and they are such a treat for the visitors to come and sit on the banks of the river and just listen to the quiet peacefulness of the of all the creatures around the river, Shafaad. And when those eagles come out and they make their distinctive call, you know, it's like really music to a nature lover's ears, Shafaad.
Alhamdulillah. How many of you have taken the time to listen to nature and, you know, the many messages coming across? And this one says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaad, Adam Kamda. We really enjoy Adam and you with your rapport on fishing. We want to know about catching crabs, Adam. What are the laws and limits about permitted for catching crabs? I don't know, but I know many will be shining torches. Others will be throwing meat for crabs. But generally, how is crab caught? And how is it culled, Adam?
Yes, Shafaad. You know, I haven't actually gone out myself to collect crab. I usually get my crab from my good friend Zaf at seafood market. Main reason being, Shafaad, is that cleaning the crab is really quite a mission. And I take the easy route. I tell Zaf, you know what? Just send me a kilo of crab or 2 kilos of crab. I've got visitors coming, and you know, it's easy to prepare it that way. But having said that, I'm very, very close to the fishermen and I know the techniques they use. The one thing I can share is that sometimes when we are targeting fish like grunter, etc., in the harbor, we occasionally pick up a crab. You'd find the crab will actually hold on to that bait with one claw and it'll pick off the sardines, you know, with the other claw and put it into its mouth. As you reel it up slowly, it comes right up to the surface. And then when it gets a good look at you and it, you know, there's something not right here, it just releases the hook and it swims all the way back down. But if you do manage to land that crab, you have to release it, Shafaad, because you're not allowed to catch swimming crabs. The crabs that you get in the Durban Harbour are swimming crabs. So that's a no-take species. But the recognized way to catch crab, Shafaad, is between the rocks in the surf at low tide. There's a specific type of crab gear, which is like a round mesh. And in the middle, you have a mesh cup to keep your bait. So in that cup, you'd put things like old scraps of sardines and a bit of mussels with a shell or mussels, just the flesh of mussels. And you would lower this down in between the rocks. And the crab, and the scent attracts the crabs. The crabs will come and sit onto that round mesh and start to feed on the bait that's in the middle. And then once you feel a little bit of vibration on that gear, you would pull the line in and raise it up out of the water, and there you have it. There are specific limitation, Shafa, that can be obtained from the Ezimbelo wildlife resources. As I said, because I don't actively catch them, I'm not familiar with how many and what size. And there's a specific way of measuring the carapace as well, and that's all spelled out on the website, Shafa.
Now, Adam, you know, both you and I, we know the ocean. I mean, I grew up virtually in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean here. And I noticed the different colors of crab. You'll get the dark gray crab, and then you find a little whitish crab. And then by Crab City, you'll get the orange crab. The difference, which is the most tastiest crab, Adam?
Shafara, I'm not sure if you've heard the term Mu Devi. There's a Mu Devi crab that the fishermen really love. They catch them on the rocks, actually. They run along the rocks. You see the fishermen running along the rocks, clambering over them and trying to grab them. And apparently they are really good for mussel cracker, Shafa. So it's a black crab with some red bits on it. And they rig them up live or, peeled with just probably a few legs and a bit of the body attached to it, Shafa. And apparently the fish cannot resist it. So. And also, you know, sometimes you look at crab that's frozen and it looks dark and looks black. But usually when you cook it up, that shell turns a beautiful pink color. And inside you get the lovely firm white flesh as well, Shafat.
You know, I'm amazed that humankind, they consume so much of fish, so much of crab, so much of lobsters. And then you get these ocean, big vessels going out into the Atlantic or deep into the Arctic, nearby those cold seas, the Bering Straits and so forth. And there they're catching tons and tons of lobsters, Adam. And I wonder, human beings, they eat so much of lobsters and crayfish and all these things. Talk to me about it, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, I've seen these videos of the most dangerous jobs in the world, and one of them is actually being on one of these crab boats. Apparently, they get quite a few thousands of dollars per kilo of these crabs, Shafat. They use huge nets, obviously baited with old fish inside. They throw them out and let them soak for days at a time. And after a few days, they pull them up and they sort the crabs out. There's also limits there to the sizes, so all the undersized ones get thrown back. But the big ones, you know, the big spiny lobsters, Shafat, they look so beautiful and they have a lot of meat and they're very sought after. In terms of overfishing, Shafat, you know, we've got so much of technology with these huge trawlers, processing plants on the trawlers. You've got, you know, they are using satellite technology to be able to choose the absolute best spots where to expect these crabs and whatever marine resource you're trying to exploit. And, you know, it's come to a point where we always knew the ocean to be infinite and so vast that we cannot make a dent. But it's sad to say, Shafat, you know, the methods have become so industrial that we are really making quite a serious impact. And I think that's why most of the governments and authorities are setting more and more firm regulations. They're doing lots of research to study the impact, and they're trying to put restrictions in place so that these resources are still sustainable for many years to come, Shafat.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at and Adam Kamda. You guys sound so fresh every weekend. Jazakallah khair. You actually give the Ummah a booster. Please, Adam and Shafa'at, please give us a verbal on-air demo, how to take scales off a fish and then how to gut it properly before cooking it. I know our man Adam is a world-class chef. I call him the fish chef. Hey, I know the master chef. This will call you the fish chef. Adam, go for it. How would you describe, how to scale a fish and how to gut it?
Yes, Shafat. One of the easiest and fun fish to do is a Dorado, Shafat, because you don't need to scale it. You don't need to gut it. So you think, oh, hang on a second. You have to scale and gut a fish, don't you? But with the Dorado, what we do, Shafat, is once it's died, we take a sharp filleting knife, cut a slit along the pectoral fin, just on the tail, away from the head, closer to the tail on that side of the pectoral fin. Cut a deep incision all the way to the bone. And then you run your knife along the dorsal fin, on either side of the dorsal fin, just to break the skin open. And then you run your knife along the bones and you create two lovely fillets with skin on. So this way you leave the entire guts with the carcass, Shafat, and that's so easy. Then you flip your fillets over, and you run your knife between the skin and the flesh from the tail side you hold the skin down with your fingertips, and you slowly work your knife, pressing a little bit towards the cutting board, all the way towards to the opposite end of the fillet chafard. And you get two amazing fillets out of this. Then you can even take those fillets and run your knife. You'll find like the center bones. Run your knife along either side of the center bones, just removing about a millimeter or two of flesh with those center bones. And you end up with four beautiful, white, firm fillets of Dorado with no fats, no scales all over, no smell of guts or anything. And you can just discard that carcass with the guts and the skin. And all you're left with is just the pure beauty of the ocean, Chapad.
JazakAllah for that, Adam. I'm looking at a message from Asif. He says, I'm listening to you from Mzinto audio streaming. What a beautiful show indeed. Yes, Shafaat, I bought a lovely angel fish the other day, and I had my BB making a lovely fish curry. It tasted so divine. I want to know how freely available are angel fish in our oceans in the South Coast. How do you answer, Asif, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, there are certain species of fish that are caught, by trawlers overseas, and they are imported into our country. And I think angel fish is one of them. So it's not one that we catch as a fisherman, on our local shores. And there are certain species like that are quite abundant overseas. So our local seafood mongers, would sell those. But when I go to a fish shop, Shafar, I normally look for things like mussel crackers, steamed brass. If they have red Roman, I love red Roman. Sometimes you buy fillets of kuta, which is also excellent when it's fresh, Shafaat. I personally prefer to enjoy the locally caught fish. And even lionfish like big slingers and soldiers, Shafaat, they're really delicious to do grilled whole, either in a barbecue or the oven, or sliced up and fried in a light batter, or even made into fish curry, Shafaat.
And while you're talking, I'm thinking about the butterfish. My good friend, Gora Manjra, Allah give him health, he's always telling me, Shafaat, try butterfish. And I tried it quite a few times. And it wasn't, I liked it, but it didn't really appeal to my taste buds. Your take on butterfish, Adam?
Yes, Shafaat, you hit the nail on the head. I think that's also one of those species that are frozen and supplied to us, from overseas. So they're not the freshest that can be, and the discerning palate will taste the difference. And that's the main reason why I prefer to have our locally caught fish, Shafaat, because it's frozen once, and it's just a matter of days before it gets to your pot. And a fish has to be eaten fresh, Shafaat. There's no compromise in that.
I'll be getting deep into the deep freezer with the fish people. What about the pink Stian brass, the white Stian brass? And you see that, Stian brass being advertised all the time. What's your take on the white and pink Stian brass? Which is a better variation, Adam?
Yes, Shafaat, Stian brass is quite an exploited species in our local waters. I think you're allowed one Stian brass per angler per day. So best to catch your own, go out on a boat or book a charter and tell my friend Jakes to take you out. You want to catch steam brass, and he'll take you to the reefs that he knows where you can get it. And this is also a misunderstood fish in the fisheries, Shafaat, because some of the smaller fisheries use other species, and they say this is steam brass, and they market it as steam brass. But here again as well, Shafaat, it's good to study the internet, Google it, look at some pictures of the steam brass, see what the coloration is, what the head looks like, what the tail looks like, what the fins look like. So when you do go to a fish shop, you're not getting hoodwinked and paying a premium price for such a prized fish. And when you do see steam brass, buy a few slices and really enjoy that unique flavor and taste of our local steam brass, Shafaat.
Now, Adam, when I was a lighty, I captained my school cricket team, my school table tennis team, and name it, even the rugby team and so forth. But, I was my first cricket bat I remember that I bought for myself was the Graham Pollock bat, Graham Pollock. Now, I'm looking at a question from a listener here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. I'm interested to know about the Pollock fish. Please tell us more. Is there such a thing as Pollock fish, Adam?
Yeah, it's not very familiar with me, Shafaat. I had a book written by Rudy van der Elst, local scientist, and he had hundreds of species. And I used to love, you know, reading through them. They show you a map of where these fish occur all the way along our South African coast. And I used to tick them off as I caught, like I'll catch a grunter. If it was, for example, 60 centimeters, I'll write it on the book, 60 centimeters. And the next time I catch one bigger, you know, I use it as a way to record my personal best fish. And also a means in which to go through all the different species as well, Shafat. And I really enjoyed, you know, they had pictures of the fish, and so you could identify it easily. Sometimes you'd catch something that you don't recognize, and you'll pay it through the book. But pollock fish, Shafat, you know what, I'm stumped. I haven't seen that in Rudy's book, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah. Give me full marks there. Cricket there, people. This man is a genius. Idris Kamisa, are you listening? Yeah, your student is an A-grade English, no, A plus. Beautiful indeed. And you know what? MashaAllah, I can hear you're a voracious reader. And as we move on, we look at this question. It says, Salams at Marcus Sahaba. We love the radio station from Mufti A.K. Hussein, yourself, and everything else is good on the station. All the alims too, mashallah, are delivering at an optimum level. He goes on to say, if I catch a fish in the morning, Adam Kamda, how long can I keep it before I must freeze it? How must I keep my fish until I go home, in water or ice bucket or what? I am a new beginner to fishing, and I live in a town called Reservoir Hills. Reservoir Hills, hey, you just stand about a stone throw away from Adam. He can stand on his 10th floor and throw a stone. It'll hit the hills in Reservoir. Adam, your comments.
Yes, Shafat, the main thing to observe is when you land a fish, Shafat, is not to leave it lying around in the sun, in the hot sand, for it to bake in the sun. And that's the shortest way for your fish to go off before you take it home. You find a lot of local fishermen, when they go down for a few hours in the morning to catch shad, you see them burrowing the shad into the sand. So they don't go up to the dry sand. They'll keep it in the, you know, where the sand is still wet on the shoreline. And this keeps the fish cool and out of the sun. And so when they're ready to go home, they just dig up. Your limit is 4 shad per day, so it doesn't take too long to catch your limit. Then they dig up those 4 shad, rinse it off, put it into their bucket, and off they go. Fish are quite resilient like that, Shafat. You can keep them for a few hours, you know, without freezing them or chilling them. But the absolute best way, Shafat, is to carry a cooler box with ice in it. And as soon as you catch your fish, rinse it off in the salt water and place it in the ice. So when you get home, you can clean it and put it into your deep freeze. And from there, you know, there's no fishy smell, and it's absolutely healthy. There's no bacteria, and the taste is absolutely amazing as well, Shafat. If you really look after your fish, you can really taste the difference. A lot of people are put off by seafood. They say, oh, it's too smelly and this and that and whatever. And that the reason for that, Shafat, is that you've purchased your fish from a fishmonger that doesn't really understand hygiene and doesn't look after the fish, or it wasn't kept properly from the time the fisherman caught it till the time, you know, it made its way to your kitchen or to your plate, Shafat.
Absolutely brilliant. And I thought they were borrowing because they hid the shad from the inspectors, the parks board, Adam.
Oh, not at all, Shafat. We never do that.
Not you come to Tiger Rocks. Hey, check who's checking there. Say, hey, they can check that or there. No, anyway. But I don't know many of them. But the fines were very stiff because most of them were subsistence fishermen there, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, there's a good joke going around about the shad fishermen, you know, hiding their fish. And sometimes when they bury them, then they can't actually find them. So they use this technique of leaving the tail sticking out, Shafat. So these guys were busy catching fish. They bury their fish in the sand with the tail sticking out, and then they walk back down to the water and carry on fishing. An hour later, they came back up and said, okay, let's say it's time to pack up. And when they pulled the tails up, there were just only tails left. Somebody had stolen all the fish and just left the tails behind for them, Shafat.
Yeah, that's a fishy tail, Adam. But anyway, really enjoying you this morning. And you really bring fishing alive. And you're an asset to our segment here. Adam, well, everyone's waiting for a recipe. Yeah, Gigi Foy there in Baira. Where's the recipe, Adam? Where's the recipe? What you got for Gigi Foy this morning, Adam?
Yes, Shafaad, since your theme was crabs earlier in the show, I think I'll share with you my lovely crab recipe. It's so simple to do, Shafaad. Everyone makes such a big deal about cooking crab. But as I mentioned previously, Shafaad, the hard part is actually in cleaning the crab. So take the easy way out and ask your fishmonger to clean it for you. So here's the recipe. I hope you've got your pen ready. So you start off with using 1 kg of crab, cleaned, disjointed, and cracked the shells. Then to a pot, add 3 tablespoons of mustard oil, 1 teaspoon of jeera seeds, and 2 bay leaves. Fry for a minute. Then add 1 grated onion. Cook till the onion turns light brown. Then add 2 teaspoons of crushed garlic and 1 tomato finely chopped. Keep mixing as you add these ingredients and cook them. Then add 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric powder and 1 teaspoon of chili powder. If you prefer it hotter, you can double it, make it 2 teaspoons of chili powder. Then you add to this the washed crab. Give it a good mix, coating all the pieces. Add 1 teaspoon of salt and cook on low for 5 minutes. You'll find all the gravy sticking to the pieces, Shafaad. Then you add 2 tablespoons of yogurt, mix it through. Add 2 cups of hot water and cook covered on low heat for 15 minutes. Then add 1/2 teaspoon of garam masala, 2 split green chilies. If you would like it hotter, you can even add 4 split green chilies. Then add 1 tablespoon of ghee and give it a mix. Bring it to a boil, then garnish it with chopped dhania leaves and serve it hot with some savory rice, Shafaad.
I tell you, absolutely brilliant indeed, Adam. I can see that Mr. Patankar, hey, and that other Kokni friend of mine, what's his name? Yeah, Farooq Zakot, all smacking their lips, Adam, and absolutely brilliant this morning. Your parting words, Adam?
Yes, Shafaad, I'd just love to describe the scene again as we end the show. We started off with dark clouds on the horizon. And as I spoke to you, the sun peeped through above the clouds and warmed my face as we had this conversation. And now the sun has reached a further set of clouds above it, and there's beams of sun rays shining down onto the ocean with the water glistening out in the deep. And you can see ski boats scurrying along and canoes paddling out through the surf. I'll take a few pictures and post it on Facebook as well, Shafaad. So I'll share it with you. And if the listeners can log on, just look for my profile, Adam Kamda, and you can enjoy beautiful scenes of the Durban beachfront this morning.
Yeah, I tell you, he's saying morning has broken. Adam Kamda has spoken from the Indian Ocean. Beautiful indeed. I love your description there. A book of poems are coming through. You know, you can sit back and write your memoirs. You have so many sources of reference, Adam. Just take your recordings and listen to it and start writing your book, Adam.
You're very talented, Shafaad. You can write poetry on the spur of the moment. I'm really impressed.
No, you too. You really are. You bring it alive. Allah bless you, Adam. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Salam to you and the listeners, Shafaad.
Wa alaikum salam. A beautiful morning indeed in the ocean. Can you feel it, Boniface? Hey, you say jump into the Lake Malawi and catch some chambus. Hey, do you have any crabs there in Malawi, Boniface? Maybe they're like a chambu crab. The small ones. Hey, now you must tell me. You're not telling me. I know about the chambu fish, but I want to know about the chambu crabs. Do they have that in Lake Malawi?
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.